not real. It's just a computer-generated fantasy.
You are listening to Spectres of the Future, a gadget and technology radio show that airs on 93.7 Edge FM, Bega Valley, Australia. For links and info, even videos about our stories, please visit our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Spectres of the Future.
You're listening to Spectres of the Future with Chris S. and Brex, coming to you live from the Lounge of Love.
We've got multiple devices on laps, on coffee tables, even on a milk crate.
We've got them going all over the place. What do we bring the show to for you today? What are we using today? You've got the
I've got the Surface Pro 2 with my USB mic attached.
I've got the iPad 2, and we've got a little iPhone working as our stopwatch today. Make sure that we don't run too far over and bore you to tears. Let's start with some homework, Brex.
Samsung, they had the special screen on one of their new concept smartphones. The screen that sort of wrapped around the edge went to the back.
Yeah, so not only, so the screen went all the way around, and you could use the screen along the edge as well, but yeah, I don't know, you and I were trying to question what they were going to use this screen for. They've come out with some news?
Yeah, they've got a little explanation of how you could use the curvy bit around the side of your phone. They've got a couple of things here. You could use it as a clipboard with little thumbnails, have text snippets, stuff that you can sort of drag into documents.
This is like an old-fashioned file effects type thing, yeah?
Yeah, so you can sort of thumb through all sorts of stuff like that, contacts, stuff like that, text messages, emails, status updates, you know, get your Facebook updates, even stuff like your battery meter, slide to unlock, and volume controls could go there as well.
Now that'd be quite nice. So instead of having to like on your iPhone at the moment, you double tap on the home screen and it tells you what you've got open. If you've got tabs down the side, you just really need to just have a quick peek around there and you know what's going on.
Not only that, but it'd be completely customizable. You can have the buttons look any which way you want.
Nice. I like that concept. It'll be interesting to see when they come out and what they do with them. Now Twitter, there's been a lot of stuff around hacking and phone hacking of Indonesian dignitaries, etc., etc. this week. Now, Twitter hasn't done it because of this, but they've upped their security for their users.
Yes, they're doing more to protect us, the little tweeters. They're putting a double layer of encryption on their whole Twitter system.
So have they got encryption already of some sort?
Yeah, they've been using it since 2011. It's just your old HTTPS, which is encrypted browsing, but now they're using a second layer of encryption on top of the key that unlocks the first. So a locked box within a locked box, you could say.
Hey, just a little backtrack. HTTPS, I mean, that's been around for a while, hasn't it? Is that something that gets offered by the person putting the website up, or is that something you can just type into your web address and it automatically makes it a little more secure?
It's not something you can just do for any old website. It needs to be a special kind of website, a banking website, a whole lot of other sort of social networks also offer it. But that's just the protocol.
Okay. One to look out for if you're surfing and you want to make sure you're secure. Now, it's that time of year again. I don't have my jingle bells here with me. I do have my credit card, though.
And that's all you need for the consumer Christmas events. Coming up, Xbox and PlayStation 4, the two big next-gen consoles, have come out and sold many, many, many units. In fact, over 1 million units in the first 24 hours.
That was in North America, yeah?
North America, that's for the PlayStation 4.
Oh, yeah.
Huge, huge amount of people in lines. They reported up to 2.4 million people waiting in line for the PlayStation 4. And that was at a single franchise. So many stores, but a single franchise. GameStop in the US.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of PlayStations.
That's a lot of PlayStations. They even sold out their reserve stock. Little while after that, Xbox also claimed that they sold over 1 million units. Xbox being the sort of loser in the next-gen console race.
Mm-hmm.
And they did manage to get over 1 million units sold in the first 24 hours, but they had to count an 11 extra countries to get that figure.
Right, okay. That's a lot of extra countries for the same amount of Xboxes. Mm. Well, a little bit less, really. Yeah. Let's get one more in here before we take a break. We reported on the 3D plastic guns, or the printable guns, a little while back. But some more news out of the States on this?
Yeah, Philadelphia is first US city to ban 3D printed guns. So the city council voted unanimously to pass a bill banning the practice last Thursday. So it's a pretty violent place, Philadelphia. I didn't realize this, but 331 reported murders in 2012. So they've nipped it in the bud and already banned the 3D printing of firearms.
Lawmakers catching up with technology. But we've got to say, though, the 3D printed gun, it's not a cheap way to get a gun because you've got to buy a 3D printer to start with.
Most definitely. It's also pretty unreliable and highly experimental.
Let's take a little break. We'll be back in a moment. Spectres of the Future with Chris S. and Brex, where you can get all your weekly tech news. Now, Apple have been selling lots and lots of iPhones in the US, but they've always been under contract, but not anymore.
Not anymore. They're now offering on their site, on the Apple Store site, the whole range of iPhone 5S units without a SIM card, which is really good. It's a little bit different in the US, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, in the States, there's lots of big providers who are a little bit slow behind the eight ball. Basically, they want to lock you into a pretty restrictive contract to stop you going off to anywhere else. It's not as easy as here when you can port your number through fairly quickly and move around from provider to provider, so long as you're not on a contract. So yeah, this is big news for phone users in the States, to be able to buy a phone and not be locked in to anyone in particular.
Bit of freedom. Unfortunately, though, the phones are a little bit more costly than if you'd been on a plan. It's about $650 for the 16 gigabyte model, $850 for the 64 gig. So it's a bit of a step up, but no strings attached.
It'd be interesting to know. What do they sell for here?
I think considerably less.
Okay, that's interesting. All right, so there might be some Americans calling you up saying, can you buy me a phone and send it over, perhaps. Now, Pininterest or Pinterest?
Pinterest.
Pinterest.
It's a bit hard to say.
This is a bit of a girly thing. I've really not got into this. What is Pinterest all about?
Pinterest is technically a social network, except it's nothing like Facebook, and it's really not like Twitter either. What it is it's you find an awesome-looking site, something crafty, or something neat, or something cheap. It could be a shop, it could be anything, really. And what you do is you copy the site, you go over to Pinterest, and you paste it in, and that basically puts a pin in it. You can then pick a category to store the pin in, and people can subscribe to your categories. So you might have things for craft or good deals, specials, funny stuff, you know, all sorts of stuff. It's wildly popular with the internet female genre.
Demographic?
That's the word. And Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's really graphical. Like, you load it up, it's just a bunch of cool pictures of awesome websites and cool stuff to buy. Now, you can put pins in geolocation... you can do it on your smartphone, actually. You can walk around, use a GPS, and put a pin in the world. Cafes, restaurants, cinemas, scenic shots that you've taken, your travels overseas, anything now. It looks really cool.
Now, I mean, can't you already do this with Google or with Foursquare or somewhere like that? Are these guys going to sort of amalgamate at some stage, or is it good to have lots of different bits and bobs out there?
I think it's good, a bit of healthy competition. Foursquare is not very graphically orientated, and places like Facebook, well, you just don't feel like giving away your location from time to time. This is very different in that it's highly visual. Like I said, the website's just a whole bunch of cool pictures. So now it'll be a picture of a map and all of your pictures that you've taken along your journeys. It'll be very graphical. I think it'll take off, actually.
Now, one of the biggest frustrations when you are on Pinterest or perhaps on Foursquare or another site like that with your device in your hand is that the battery fails. Mm. And you think, oh dear, it just doesn't charge like it used to anymore. Why does that happen, Brex?
Yes, thank you, smartphone. You can do so much, but now you use so much power. The batteries in these things really only last about a day in some of these smartphones. But it looks like we could have a way that could get us a bunch more juice out of them. Some researchers at Stanford and the SLAC National Accelerator Laboratory have developed self-healing batteries.
Oh, right. Okay, then. Now, with batteries, they get hot. You know, I'm sure everyone's experienced that heat off their laptop or the heat off their portable device or their smartphone. And, of course, when they get hot, they expand. And so, as a result, they crack and break, especially when they shrink back down again.
Yeah, so the electrodes inside the batteries, the more that they crack up over time, the less power they can store, essentially. Meaning that, you know, after a long, long time, your phone will not even charge longer than an hour. They've seemed to have fixed this by using two different bits of technology, both of which we've talked about previously on the show, actually. The first one is using silicon electrodes, which can even be made from biomatter, to make the electrodes. The problem with that is that they crack a lot. So essentially, you can store more power, but it doesn't last as long. So what they've done is they've put the self-healing polymers we've talked about earlier on top of it. They've kind of coated it in this gluey stuff. And when it cracks, the polymer cracks with it, but when it contracts again...
And heals.
It heals and pulls itself back together, basically giving it more power and more life.
Ah, right. So it pulls the silicon electrodes back into shape as the polymer that's coating it pulls back into shape.
Sounds complicated, but essentially you get a bigger battery that lasts longer.
And that's what we all want, I think.
Pretty much.
Let's take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Chris S. and Brex, you're listening to Spectres of the Future. Now, we've reported on the DARPA robots in the past, haven't we, Brex?
Yeah, they've got some pretty cool ones. The coolest one is the humanoid Atlas, which is produced by Boston Dynamics in partner with DARPA. DARPA funded, of course. So it's really, really cool. It's recently been given a bunch of software upgrades, making it a lot more human, in fact.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're looking at a video of this little fella right now. And yeah, I mean, you know, he looks like a human-shaped thing with a backpack on, basically, doesn't he?
Yeah, big old backpack and a bunch of umbilicals. So he walks on legs like humans, and now they've managed to get him to traverse rooms scattered with debris. They got a couple of planks in there, some sort of rubble-looking stuff, poles, fabrics. And they haven't quite perfected it yet, but what they're working on is a new system for balance, where the robot can sort of balance itself like a human does. And in fact, they've got another little bit here where you can see that
he's like running along a...
Yeah, he's like
looks like hot coals.
Yeah, testing cruelty to robots. But the robot actually puts his arms out and sort of sways them...
Tries to balance, yeah.
As a tightrope walker would. Pretty cool stuff.
Or as a small child.
Or as a small child would, yeah. Thanks, DARPA. Small child robot.
Yeah, well, if you ever want to appreciate walking once again, something we all take for granted, you should get along and have a look at this video.
Could mean some pretty interesting and pretty cool technology in the future of robots.
Oh, yeah, well and truly. Now, when you take a photograph on your, with your camera or your smartphone or whatever, and you push it off into the ether, you kind of forget about it, don't you?
Especially when it's on Twitter. I just snap it and then forget about it.
That's gone forever.
This fellow here is a freelance photojournalist. He certainly didn't forget about it. He's won $1.2 million from people who have stolen his photo and used it off of Twitter.
Now, hang on. Isn't there certainly, there must be something in the terms of trade or the I agree to this. What do you call that bit? The service
terms
contract?
And
terms and conditions. That's what I'm looking for. Surely there's something in the terms and conditions about you giving over the rights to your photographs as soon as you upload them, no?
Well, Twitter's actually not as bad as some of the photographic networks that you can upload stuff to. They do make sure that it's copyrighted. So... this was an illegal event. These two companies, one of which was Getty Images.
Right, yeah, and they're a big international photographic supplier or photo supplier.
The way this actually panned out is this fellow, Daniel Morrill, took some photos in Haiti after the 2011 earthquake.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Quite devastation. Very evocative photography from what I hear. Obviously, I haven't seen it. But... someone retweeted his photos. So they said, this is cool, I'm going to put this on my Twitter feed as well. And then someone snapped that up and put that on Getty Images. So it's a little bit wishy-washy.
Right, okay.
It strictly wasn't from his Twitter account, but was still technically copyright. And then, of course, his photos were sold on Getty Images to a bunch of different clients. A couple of television networks, even the Washington Post... bought and used some of his photography.
I think, for a start, I'd be pretty flattered if I saw one of my photographs on the Washington Post, and I think my next phone call would be to the picture editor saying, where's my check?
Well, yeah, both companies were found to have willfully ignored the copyright, and yeah, $1.2 million later... highest paid photojournalist in the world.
So, yeah, don't forget, folks, keep those photos coming to Twitter. You never know, you might get lucky. Now, on this next story is quite an interesting little one, I thought. The idea, it's controversial, isn't it? Using your smartphone while you're driving.
Yeah, gone are the days of thumb typing. But now, you know, we've got more interactive, more visual and more distracting phones to drag our attention away from the road. Honda's got a new line of Civic vehicles coming out next year, 2014. And one of the features they're going to be putting into it is iOS mirroring.
Right, okay. So this is like most cars these days have got some sort of LCD screen of some sort where you've got controls and sat nav and all that.
It's becoming pretty standard. You got a big touch screen in your dash. So what they're going to try and do is have it completely mirrored from your phone. So you plug in your phone, and then boom, there it is. It's displayed in the middle of your car. You can use it just like your phone. Any app, any service, make phone calls, listen to music. It's all there.
Now, for me, this instantly says more distraction. says more, not looking in the road, looking at the screen, not looking at the road, looking at the screen, pushing a button on the screen. For me, it just says, no, it's a no-brainer. This is just going to cause trouble.
It does have the potential to cause a lot of problems, but it does have the potential to also be quite useful. Imagine no longer having to spend hundreds of dollars on GPS software and devices for your car. Instead, you just have your phones and maybe Google Maps or something.
Okay, yeah. No, well, that makes sense as well. I can see how that would work. But, you know, have you ever seen anyone with a dash-mounted iPad? And what do you think the cops would say if they pulled you over with your iPad mounted up on the dash?
Yeah, might not get away with that one, especially if you're playing some game.
Yeah, some sort of Candy Crush or cookies Candy Crush or something like that. Yeah,
not good. Yeah. It's still a bit of a rumour, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be appearing next year.
Well, let's see how it goes from Honda. Let's come back with some gadgets in just a moment. Chris S. and Brex, and it's that time again, that time of year. That's the sound of your credit card being racked up because it's go-go gadget time, and everyone wants a gadget for Christmas.
Yep, there's some pretty cool ones too. This first one we got is the Lytro camera. It's L-Y-T-R-O. It's pretty cool. It's been around for a while though. Came out in 2011. It's a special kind of camera. Looks a little bit like a flashlight, actually.
Yeah, it's like a little box with a lens on the front. Yeah, it does. It looks exactly like a flashlight.
Pretty big lens, and for good reason. What it does, this camera, is when you take a photo, it takes the photo with all focal zoom levels, which means afterwards you can have a look at the photo you've taken and then sort of click on it, and it will focus on the spot that you've clicked on. So you can focus in the foreground, the background, the midground, wherever you like. You can get a totally clean focal point.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, with autofocus cameras, and especially on smartphones, it's always a pain in the neck. When you get that great shot with everybody looking fantastic and da-da-da-da-da, and someone's put their hand up in front and their hand's in focus and everybody else is just a little bit soft.
It's terrible. And, you know, the worst thing with mine is I hold it up, I hold my breath, and then it does its little zoomy thing and it focuses, and then I tap the screen to take the photo, and I've tapped it and got a blurry shot. Yeah. It's terrible.
So with this, you'll be able to go back and choose anything to be in focus. You could have Auntie May's earring in focus on her left ear, or you could have, you know, Uncle Bert up on the back row. Perhaps you could have his nose in focus. Or if you're, you know, taking a scenic shot, perhaps you'd like the things at the front of the picture to be in focus or the things in the back. Or you could do both.
It doesn't come cheap, though. Unfortunately, this camera is about $360 to $400. You can actually buy them online now.
I wonder if they're not selling just because of the fact that, you know, cameras full stop have really taken a huge dive since cameras have arrived in smartphones.
Yeah, it's hard, I guess, to get new technology to take off when people don't bother if they've got one already in their pocket.
Mm.
Good news is, though, that the company that brought out the Lytro camera, they've managed to raise $40 million in funding to further develop the camera, but also make additional cool products.
Right, okay then. So is it available online now, or is it going to be online soon? It's online now?
You can get it online now, but look forward to their new range of products or fixed up versions of the Lytro camera in the future.
L-Y-T-R-O. Choose your favorite search engine. Go and have a look. Now, speaking of spending money,
yes, there's now an easier way to do it. Google have released Google Wallet, which is a bit weird. What it is it's technically a Android phone app. It's a bit of software. You download it. Once you've got it on your phone, it uses your smartphone camera to take photos of your debit cards, your credit cards, basically any plastic you've got in your wallet.
Uh-huh.
What it does then is it digitally reads the numbers on your card, stores them for you, and the next time you're on an online shop, you can press a button and it'll automatically put them all in for you.
Right, because that is the most boring part of online shopping, is paying, really.
And you got one wrong, and you're juggling your wallet, your cards, your phone in both hands. It's a bit of a nightmare. So this is not really meant to do anything other than make it more convenient. There is, of course, the security worries, having your numbers stored on a Google device. But, you know, what are you going to do? Convenience over security.
Well, convenience wins every day, although perhaps not in this case, because people have always been very mindful of their credit cards and destroying either receipts or, you know, making sure someone doesn't take it into the back room to process it. I think people, because of banks and their fraud prevention campaigns, are really, really mindful of security for their credit cards. I think the way forward with this one, not necessarily for online shopping, but for shopping, is the touch and go thing. I know, for instance, in the UK at the moment, they're replacing all of the Oyster cards, which is the way you used to pay for your train and bus fares. Now you just use your regular credit card and just touch it on the pad as you go through the turnstile, and then touch it again on your way out, and it automatically calculates what you're going to get charged for your train ticket.
Convenience over security.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But don't worry, there are some security devices you can get as well. Our next one here is the Safe Plug, which is pretty cool. What it can do is secure your entire home network, and it works pretty easily too. It's simply like a little box. You plug it into your network at home, and it immediately sets up what's called a proxy server.
Now, it works like Tor, doesn't it? Which is the anonymous internet surfing software,
It does use the Tor services, yeah. So basically, it keeps your IP hidden behind it. So that's not just one of your computers, that's all your computers, even if your smartphones connect wirelessly to your home network. Everything in your house that connects to the internet through your router will then be protected. So what does that mean? Basically means that you won't get those annoying websites saying, you know, this is available in your area. You won't get people being able to see what suburb you live in. Geo-tracking won't work. And a couple of other ads won't work either, things that Google search sometimes picks up off of your cookies.
Now, one of the prices of security is speed and convenience. And in this case, yeah, it's going to slow down your internet connection a little bit, isn't it?
Basically, that's the bottom line. It's only $50 for the device, but it will have a small slowing of the internet effect. That's unavoidable, as your traffic has to route through the proxy server before it gets outside into the World Wide Web. But, you know, maybe that's a price you're willing to pay for security at home.
Yeah, well, you know, and it might let you watch some TV shows on other channels around the world that you can't subscribe to from Australia. Who knows? I wonder where those proxy servers come from. Let's come back with some more gadgets in just a moment. I'm Chris.
S.
I'm Brex.
And you're on Spectres of the Future. Now, they're like annoying siblings. You know, there's kids that sort of poke each other, and then they poke each other back, and then Google and Microsoft, they've been at it for ages.
Some of us pick sides, some of us just sit back and laugh. last Thursday, Microsoft released a bunch of cool, I call it gear. It's not technically not a gadget. There's a bunch of mugs, t-shirts, you know, that sort of cool stuff. Yeah, this is ammunition in their war against Google. It's this Scroogled gear.
Scroogled?
Don't get Scroogled.
Ah, I see.
So, I see. Yeah, they put it up. It's still actually available in the Microsoft Store, although the mugs sold out within the first couple of hours. It's essentially just a whole bunch of boo-booing on Google and their lack of security.
That sounds like a lawsuit in the offering to me.
Considering that these guys have been at it for so long, it's just sort of accepted, I guess. Yeah, a whole lot of stuff, you know, Google Chrome steals your data. Maybe the safe plug wasn't such a bad idea.
Mm.
But, yep, you can head on over there, maybe pick up some Scroogled gear for Christmas.
Yeah, Scroogled gear. Some mini mentions we've got to race through before the end of the show.
Yeah, the first one we got is pretty cool. Death Star wall tiles. So you remember the Death Star sort of flight scene?
Fantastic, you know, drops awesome. Down in amongst the buildings, the torrents are firing at you,
The surface of the Death Star can now be your walls at home.
Wow.
It's pretty cool, 12 by 12 inches, and they're about 3 to 5 inches deep, you know.
Depending on
on the sort of surface.
And where you were.
Yeah, you can put them in any... Tom Spina Designs, that's TOMSPINA Designs.com. Some cool stuff there.
Now, something that you might not want to go that is a little bit like the Death Star itself, but there comes a time in every man's life when he's going to have this test.
Yep, and funnily enough, there's some new gear to help people learn how to perform a prostate exam.
Now, for those of you who don't know, there's only two ways to find out if you've got prostate cancer. One is to have what's called a PSA test, which is like a blood test, pretty much. The other one is to have someone stick their finger up your bum.
In comes Patrick. Patrick is a robot designed to help people learn how to do the latter. It's basically a robotic butt, Chris.
I got to admit, I wouldn't want a doctor doing that to me if it was his first time. I'd want to know that he'd done that before.
That's true. Maybe you could ask Patrick. Yeah. So anyway, he's got a bunch of...
I wonder if Patrick squeals at the appropriate moment.
Actually, he does. Patrick's not only a butt, but he's got a screen with a digital rest of the person on the screen and will respond to a whole bunch of internal sensors. Also, there are sensors that detect eye contact. That I'm not sure why. I mean, that's the last thing I'd want. But to help the bedside manner of the doctor.
Improve. It's got to be an embarrassing moment for everyone, doctor and patient.
Especially Patrick.
Yeah.
Time and time again.
Poor Patrick. Now, our next story is the smelly story, the one we were talking about a little bit earlier on. We all love cheese.
Sometimes cheese can be a bit on the nose, Chris.
I don't mind a bit of stinky cheese, especially if there's a good red wine to go with it.
That's all right, I suppose. This cheese, however, is pretty darn nasty.
So, the scientist, Christina Agapakis?
And a scent expert.
Sisal Talas.
Yep, she's those who have gotten together and made some cheese grown from human bacteria.
Where did they get this human bacteria?
Well, they didn't say exactly. I think they've made a couple of different cultures, but they've got it from belly buttons, from your nose, from tears, toe scrapings, all sorts of delicious places around the human body where we've got bacteria
Yum.
Living.
Yum. So can you eat this cheese?
Most definitely not. This is pretty nasty looking stuff. You can actually check out a picture if you're into that sort of thing. Anyway, they did it as a sort of experiment to highlight the sort of bacterial connections between the human body, odors, and things like cultures in cheese and milk.
Yum. Mm. Yum. Now, look, one smell that I quite look forward to, normally on a Saturday morning, is the smell of bacon frying.
Delicious.
Mmm.
Just to clear the air.
Yeah.
There's been a bunch of cool bacon-related products out on the internet. It's been a massive craze. You've probably seen it already, but we've got bacon soap, cologne, bacon lip balm, even bacon-scented shaving cream, sunblock, even band-aids that look like bacon strips. Now we have bacon deodorant.
Bacon deodorant. So you too can smell like bacon when you walk into the office first thing.
J&D Foods have pretty much been responsible for most of these. $10 a can for the deodorant, pretty cheap.
It's not bad going. I don't know, I do like the smell of bacon, but I don't know if I want to carry it as my personal scene.
Yeah, you don't want to walk past a pack of ravenous dogs or anything.
That could be big trouble. And besides, I just don't like smelling like a pig. I can do that on my own, really. I don't need bacon deodorant. That's all we've got time for this week.
Yep, catch you next week.
We'll see you soon. Maybe we'll have some Christmas shopping specials.
For links and info, even videos about our stories, please visit our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/spectors of the future.